Money FM 89.3. Best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now for Culture Club. Today, we're talking about a place that's hidden for more than 150 years, a row of Victorian railway arches set to be restored to become the focal point of a £2.5 billion development on London's South Bank. Now, they will form the heart of a commercial, retail, cultural and residential hub as part of Native Land's 5.5-acre Bankside Yards Riverside scheme. Of course, you've got climate action as its foundation. The mixed-use development at Bankside Yards is set to be the UK's first major fossil fuels-free regeneration project with zero emissions in operation. The site ultimately aims to improve the environment, health and, of course, well-being of its occupants. It also aims to create jobs, facilitate economic growth and increase the strength of the community. Well, we're going to find out more about this. On the line with me from the United Kingdom is Nicholas Gray, Sales and Marketing Director for Native Land. Nicholas, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Elliot. I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you so much for taking the time. This is a really exciting project. Tell us a little bit about Native Land's portfolio. Anything significant you'd like to highlight?
Of course. Native Land is a mixed-use residential commercial developer, principally in prime central London, but also in other markets across the UK. We're doing Bankside Yards, as you so brilliantly summarised there, but also we're doing a number of other projects across London and Edinburgh. Team in Edinburgh called New Eden, right in the middle of Edinburgh, 150 apartments. We're doing 100 George Street in Marylebone in London, Derwent, London, as well as various other projects coming through.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Bankside Yards. It is a $3.4 billion Singapore dollar development comprising 8 buildings. You've got a 33-story Mandarin Oriental Hotel, 350,000 square feet of commercial office space, more than 700 residential units. Who are you targeting with this?
Well, it's a very good question. It's a hugely diverse development of 5.5 acres, these 8 buildings. We've already completed the first one, which is an office building called Arbor, 230,000 square feet. We have a number of tenants in there already, the first of which was the Carbon Trust, who really supported our take on sustainability, both as a company, as Native Land, but also as Bankside Yards, and various other tenants that have gone in there. And the hotel, you know, being the third Mandarin Oriental hotel to come to London, again, is a huge accolade for the development. And then the next stop will be first of 4 residential buildings, which we'll be launching this autumn. And that will be targeted at buyers of apartments from both the UK and across the globe, including in Singapore.
All right. And when are we expecting this to be fully built, before I dive into the climate action aspect of it?
It will be, we've completed one building.
Okay.
We'll finish the next building, Opus, at the end of 26. And all the rest of the buildings will generally be complete by the end of 2028, including the Mandarin Oriental.
Wow, okay. A trip to the UK is on the cards. Although I do wonder, this idea, as I was reading it out, right, the fact that it's fossil fuel-free,
yeah,
mixed-use development, how exactly does fossil fuel-free development work?
So it will be the UK's first, as you said, fossil fuel-free development of this kind of scale in operation. And that really means two things, or the two significant things. The first is that it's all electric. The whole estate, all 8 buildings will be electric. And that electricity will be from renewable sources. But it will have the UK's first, and I think only, fifth generation energy sharing network within the buildings, where each building will be able to extract or reject energy into a single thermal network serving the whole development, and thereby reducing the operational energy requirement everywhere.
Oh, wait. So it's a case of, so the building, okay, I get that. I'm sorry, I'm really intrigued by this. So when it is operational, can you elaborate a little bit about power generation? I mean, how does that impact future tenants?
Well, it means that the only energy coming into the development is electricity. and future tenants will be able to power their spaces from renewable sources.
Okay. Okay. Nicholas, not...
And by reducing... Yeah, I was going to say, by reducing the energy requirement for those tenants or for those apartment owners, you have this energy sharing network. Thereby, if a building gets too hot, or parts of a building gets too hot, it can reject that heat into another building or another space within the development, which is too cold, and therefore you're sharing the excess heat or cold.
This sounds useful in the winter seasons, and I want to elaborate again on that.
Yeah.
How much of AI comes into play? I know you guys are the developers, but is there that conversation happening, the aspects of making the entire development more of a smart development, therefore effective use of whatever energy is being generated?
I'm not sure how much AI is going to come into it at the moment or how much I can comment on that today.
Okay.
But in terms of a sort of smart living, smart working, that's very much about the energy efficiency of the development, the fact that it is a transport orientated development. It's immediately next door to Blackfriars Station. It has amenities within each building across the whole development that are both relevant today and tomorrow rather than the typical kind of amenities you might have had in previous years. It's got 3.5 acres of public realm to enjoy. It's that kind of thing that would be sort of next generation or future-proofing the development.
No, I completely appreciate that answer. And I feel that with that answer, it really provides a vision for smart living, the future of smart living within London, the future of working within London. Do you hope this vision translates or overflows into other developments in future?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we consider ourselves as pioneers when it comes to sustainability in new developments of this kind of scale. And we would love it if everybody did this. This is our ambition, is to do better and set an example for other companies and other developments.
Okay. And from that, we understand that Singapore has a hand in it. In fact, Bankside Yards has the backing of an international consortium that includes Singapore entities, Temasek Holdings and Hotel Properties Limited. Tell us a little bit more about this partnership.
So we have, Native Land has a number of partnerships and has had over the years with a range of companies, both listed, private, sovereign wealth funds across the globe. And we're really proud and honoured to be partnering with Temasek, HPL and Amcorp in Malaysia as well. It's a four-way partnership, and that they trust us to deliver these outstanding developments and consistent returns.
Okay, and do you see this spilling over into other potential investment opportunities?
We very much hope so. And two of the companies, Hotel Properties Limited and Amcorp, we have done several developments with them in the past, and we would like to do more, yes.
Yeah, for sure. And Nicholas, your expectations for the projects moving forward, I suppose a little bit more broadly, and it's back to the earlier question around who you're expecting to target, what are the opportunities should one want to be is interested in getting on board this project?
Well, aside from taking office space within our first building, Arbor, it would be really buying apartments within any of the four residential buildings that we'll have within the development. The first of which is Opus, which is a 50-story building, the next building to complete in late 2026. It will be the tallest residential building in prime central London, and we will be launching that in the autumn. And so I very much look forward to talking to you and your listeners more about that in the autumn.
All right. And it definitely paves or paints that picture with the United Kingdom. I mean, moving forward the next couple of years economically, and how when you have such living spaces, right, it boosts the entire economy in one way or another.
It definitely does. And the economy, you know, this week is looking up and is looking good. The stock market's at an all-time high, as it was yesterday at least. Inflation is dropping back to much more acceptable levels. And with any luck, interest rates will come back as well.
All right. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Nicholas Gray, Sales and Marketing Director for Native Land. Nicholas, I appreciate your time today.
Thanks a lot, Elliot. Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.